sweat the technique.
You're listening to The Killer Bees with Joel Blank and Jeremy Branham
on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Broadcasting live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios.
He's Blank, I'm Branham. We're the Bees on ESPN 97.5, ESPN 92.5, 713-780-3776. All right, what does this mean for the Houston Texans on the football field? Strictly football, what does this trade do for you? Do you like it? Seventh rounder for Joe Mixon. You pick up the final year of his deal, 6.1 cap hit maximum with like the incentives that he has. What do you think of this trade?
I think it's really good for them. From a football perspective, you and I had differing opinions to some degree on Joe Mixon, but it came up a week or so back, and I thought he could still be a good fit here. Now, I had my reservations about could he continue to be an every down back. We had been talking about like combinations of two running backs that could help this team and make them better. I think from a football perspective, going from having only one running back in the room to adding a guy that has a football resume like his, that has had success in a system with a really good quarterback like he had in Joe Burrow, and the fact that he comes to you with experience, and I still think something left in the tank, and he's got a lot to prove also, because in the final year of his deal, he's playing for another deal with someone, whether it's you or someone else. I think that from a football perspective, this was a really good move for them.
I've been kind of anti Joe Mixon's name from a football performance when you brought him up in the past. Mm-hmm. I've come around on it though. Looking up some of the stuff that he still brings to the table and getting some opinions from like Cincinnati and things like that, and also where the state of the running back position was for the Houston Texans after yesterday. The only running back the Houston Texans currently had on this roster before trading for Joe Mixon was Damian Pierce, and that was a sad state, especially with how Damian Pierce looked in this scheme last year. He looked lost. He looked deer in the headlights. He looked like he could never run in this scheme at all. Looked like a round peg, square hole, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. So where the running back market was, it never really looked like you were in on Derrick Henry. We found out later after the trade they got $20 million 2 years, like $10.5 million guaranteed. I think that was too high for Nick Caserio. I don't think that second year, although it might be a fake second year, I don't think it was really within reason. Plus, I think Derrick Henry just wanted to play with Baltimore.
I think that's probably true.
It's been the rumor since the combine that, you know, Henry and Baltimore are going to be this marriage. So I don't think that Derrick Henry was ever in play. They swung for Saquon Barkley, $33 million, a little north of that for 3 years. Couldn't get that done. The Philadelphia Eagles outbid you. You don't want to go into the NFL draft without a running back. Aaron Jones signed earlier in the day. Never even heard reports that the Texans wanted Aaron Jones. We heard last night that Aaron Jones was like flirting with Minnesota, and that seemed to get done pretty quickly. So where the Texans were, with just Damian Pierce on the roster, where the running back state to the free agencies were, because everybody had signed, basically. You have some like second, third, fourth-tier running back still out there. I like this trade quite a bit, and I like what Nick Caserio did, too. Oh, Joe Mixon's like he's going to be released? Before we let Joe Mixon get released and enter the open market, let's trade him a second or seventh-round pick. We have three of those. It's even a conditional seventh-round pick. Who cares about seventh-round picks? You can just sign an undrafted free agent if you really need to fill that void. I think it was a shrewd move by Nick Caserio from a football point of view. You add a starting running back day one who's capable of being your RB1. You do it for a seventh-round draft pick. Who cares about that? I'm not losing sleep over a seventh-round draft pick at all for a running back one that you have. The cap number on him, if he hits all his incentives, are $6.1 million. That's very, very cheap. You don't want the long-term risk of a 28-year-old running back. Well, he's only got 1 year left on the deal. And then you start to look at what like Mixon's good at. I was reading up on him earlier today. They say he's really good at running between the guards. Okay, up the middle. That's fantastic. Texans were awful at that last year. And then I saw another thing from like ESPN, Next Gen Stats or whatever. He's one of the best running backs catching the football out of the backfield. Yep. And that's been the one area where I think the Houston Texans could take this offense to another level. Watching games last year, C.J. Stroud a lot of times would ignore the running back out of the backfield. There'd be like 5 yards, 7 yards, 10 yards of nobody around him. You give me a running back who can catch the ball well, can run after the catch like Joe Mixon can. I like this move from a football perspective. It checks every box for me.
Yeah, from a football perspective, he gives you more than Singletary was able to give you. Singletary was smaller. Singletary was more of a scat back. He liked to get outside. He liked to scamper and cut. Mixon's a guy that can do it between the tackles. He's been an every down back. And the biggest thing that made the difference to me was how good he is at catching the football and then running with it after he gets it, because that's the kind of guy that CJ needs as a safety valve, and that Bobby Slowick can really do some things with in an offense if he wants to expand it to capitalize on the talent that he has. From a football perspective, this made all too much sense for me. And then, like you mentioned, the savvy Nick Caserio move of saying, if he gets cut, now he's essentially a free agent. Most teams, when they're talking to him, his agent's going to say, need a multi-year deal, need, you know, this many millions of dollars, and need a lot more commitment from you as a team. Because of that seventh round pick that you didn't need, the fact is, you're getting all of that off the table so you can find out what you still have as a running back.
And I think that, I mean, they would have to waive him first, right? So he'd have to go through the waiver wire. I think it's still that way during NFL free agency. I don't know for sure.
I would assume Aaron Jones had to do the same thing, right?
Yeah, but no one was picking up that contract. So no. I'm pretty sure you still have to go through the waiver period even during NFL free agency.
Even in offseason?
I think so. Okay. I could be wrong on that. I'm not 100% confident on that. If somebody has information on that, 713-780-3776. I think that you still have to go through the waiver period, because they put their contract out there. If somebody picks it up, blah, 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 blah. So if there is that, well, now you have the danger of a team who has better waiver claim claiming him before you do, because it's not a terrible contract. It was like $8 million for 1 year. The Bengals had to take a cap hit by trading him, $2.5 million. That's why he's $6.1 for you. So there's the danger of that. But even if that doesn't exist, that goes back to your point. Why not just make the trade for a conditional seventh? You have three of those anyways, and it's a stupid seventh round pick to lock in your number one running back, and now you don't have to go into the free agency pool where other teams might want him. So I thought that was shrewd by Caserio. I'm cool with Joe Mixon being the starting running back of this team for a year. I've seen some people say, should you extend Joe Mixon? Why? Why would you extend Joe Mixon? He's 28 years old. Let's see what he has for a year. And then if he goes nuts, then let's talk about an extension. I have zero interest to extend him right now, but I like him in this scheme. One season, let's see where it goes. I think that the Texans still might sign another free agent. Not a good one, but maybe like an Alexander Mattison. I know Lance has mentioned him, familiar with the scheme. I'm not bullish about him, but he's fine as a running back, too. I have heard that Joe Mixon's not great in pass protection. Okay, well, let's bring in a third down running back who's good at pass protection. And I also think that, I still think they're going to sign a running back. I don't think it's going to be a great one, but they're going to sign another veteran running back. And I also think they're going to draft a running back. And I think they're going to go into next offseason with the four running back room, because you usually carry four running backs, of Mixon, another veteran free agent, not a great one, a rookie running back, and Damian Pierce. So I don't think they're done with the running back spot.
I'd agree with that. I think that this is just the start, but this is a start that they had to get to. This is a guy that they had to kind of make sure that they got in the fold because of the fact that you had no one in the room. And we've said this about multiple positions. You don't want to go into the draft not having signed anybody or have anybody penciled in as a starter at any given position, because now teams know what you're looking for. You have to make sure that they're on the board. You might have to do some things drastically or at least somewhat to create a loss of assets to move up to make sure you don't get left holding the bag without someone of quality at a position as important as the number one running back on this squad. I agree with you. I think they're going to draft another running back. I also think it's not out of the equation to not just get another veteran running back, but I think that they could find someone with NFL experience that started before that could provide maybe some of the things that Mixon can't. And to your point, they have Beck on this team. They have guys that can block when they need to on third down. I'm not going to worry about Joe Mixon. That's way down the list in terms of his. Yes, he has to pick up blitzes.
Yeah, but Beck's not going to be a third down back for you and block. Like, he's not going to be the lone back in the backfield. He's going to be an I formation.
I'm saying if there's an edge rusher and you want to double down on him, or if he has, you know, he's got to be able to pick up a blitz. Yes, but I think that there's also other ways that you can skin a cat and make sure that you're protecting your quarterback.
Yeah.
I was just going to chime in and let you know that apparently the waiver system does run day after the Super Bowl through the end of the regular season. So, yes, waivers would have been in place.
Yeah. So there's two areas where you could have been screwed by not making the trade for Mixon. You could have been got in the waiver wire, which, you know, 50-50, maybe there's 70-30 that he doesn't get claimed.
Well, you're lower in the waiver order because of where you finished.
Right.
So but
maybe he goes through waivers unclaimed. Maybe it's only a 30% chance he gets claimed. But the 30% chance is reason enough to make the trade. And then secondly, you're right, once he's free, what if Joe Mixon just has an affinity for living in L.A.? Okay, well, you prevent him from even talking to L.A. because you made the trade for him. So I thought that was a wise move for Caserio. And the Bengals, they weren't going to get much for him. Like, they let it know that they were going to move on so you could get him for a seventh. It's that famous – you're seeing that more and more now in the NFL where, like, these teams will leak, hey, we're going to release this guy, and then 24 hours they release the guy. Why are they doing that? Because they're trying to get a Nick Caserio to give them a seventh-round pick before they release him, so they get something for nothing. Lamont says, which team got better at running back, Cincy or Houston? That's a tough question to answer. Because Cincinnati's running back room is pretty good. Like, I like Chase Brown, rookie last year. I think he can be a factor there. So it's kind of a weird way to ask the question.
They signed Moss
to kind of share the load with Brown. I'd rather have Mixon than Moss.
I would too.
So I'll answer that. I'd rather have Mixon than Moss, but
now
I like Chase Brown.
Yeah, the second part of that
the
is.
Question if, because obviously we all view Cincinnati as one of the top favorites to actually come out of the AFC and make the Super Bowl. Don't you have to ask yourself if Joe Mixon still has it, and I would argue that case, and maybe that'll come up before 30, but if Joe Mixon still has it and Cincinnati views himself as a Super Bowl contender and he's only got 1 year deal, it's not some anchor around their neck, why would they make the move to release Joe Mixon?
The same reason why the Packers cut Aaron Jones in place of Josh Jacobs, because if they think that they can get younger and better and or they might need the money in another way.
Do you view Zach Moss as better than Joe
Mixon?
No,
I'm saying the running back room, if Brown could be better as well, or the combination of the two and the salaries that they're making, put you in a different situation, because every dollar makes sense to them right now because they're penny pinching. We know they're penny pinching anyway, but they're penny pinching trying to replace guys.
Cincinnati had a decent amount of salary cap room. They weren't under the gun.
Okay, but they still have to replace guys like the Texans do and add starters, and money might be a factor as well. So
I think they like Chase Brown.
And I think it could be a combination, but I think that from a running back room perspective, what it comes down to me is the Texans, all they have right now other than Joe Mixon is Pierce, and with Brown being the other running back in Cincinnati, that the Browns are a better team running the football right now than the Texans, but the dust hasn't settled. We're not done yet.
I just don't see how, unless you think Chase Brown is just this amazing, unfound gem that's going to take over the running back room, but if you think Joe Mixon is still better than Zach Moss, then I don't see why you would let Joe Mixon go if you're a Super Bowl contender. To me, it raises, obviously there's lots of red flags to Joe Mixon, but it raises another red flag to me that a Super Bowl contender looked at Joe Mixon with 1 year left on his contract and said, nah, we're good. We're going to go with some unproven guys.
I hear what you're saying, but I think that you also have a guy that has been there, done that, that has been the mainstay for them as a running back, no matter who else was on the roster. And if you're saying that you're going to let this young player come in and take carries from him, maybe he has an issue with it too. I don't know. I don't know all the internal details, but it seems like he still believes he should be the number one. And if they were going to try and do it a different way, or they just want to move in a different direction, they chose to do what they did, maybe do it for less salary. I mean, that's the business.
713-780-ESPN, HRMP listener line, 713-780-3770. 8437, is this an upgrade from Singletary or not? Let's answer that on the other side. 713-780-3776. From a football perspective, how much do you like Joe Mixon as the fit as the RB1 for the Houston Texans? Not to say that they're done there, but I think it's fair to say that Joe Mixon is going to be the starting running back for the Houston Texans. How do you feel about that as an upgrade over Singletary? 713-780-3776. Killer Bees, ESPN 97.5, ESPN 92.5.
Hey, before we go to the break, a word from a good friend, Doc Linville, because Doc Linville is a game changer. If you're losing your hair, you've got pattern baldness, you're thinning, you don't think there's anything you can do about it, you're not interested or intrigued at all by the cover-up jobs like the sprays and the creams and the foams, and you're just hopelessly thinking that all you're going to have to do is shave your head. You don't. All you got to do is go to 975hair.com. As a listener to us, if you want to go see him, you get a consultation with him and his staff. It's absolutely free. It costs everybody else off the street $150 to meet with them. You don't have to pay a cent. No commitment, no signing on the dotted line. Just go in, ask questions, get answers, find out about the procedure, see if it might be right for you. It was right for me. He's the one that requested that we meet. He told me about how I could get my hairline back. And then when he explained that 95 to 99% of all the follicles that he moves are going to stay and grow and be with you for the long haul because they come from the sides in the back of your head where genetically you're never going to lose your hair, I was like, that makes sense. That's interesting. It's very intriguing. Tell me more. By the time I got all the details, I was ready to sign up. And boy, am I glad I did. I got my hairline back. I have the hair. The follicles after 6 to 9 months are stronger, longer, and there with the long haul, for you, with the long haul. But you can see them immediately. And the process to me was painless. Check it out and see if it might be right for you too. Tell them I sent you by because I couldn't be happier with Doc and his staff. Go to 975hair.com.
Coming to you live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, it's the Killer Bees
on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Here's Joel Blank and Jeremy Branham.
He's Blank, I'm Branham. We are the Bees, 713-780-ESPN. Totally agree with the Bengals not keeping Mixon. Seems strange to move on from him given the cap implications. Maybe they're just turning the chapter and looking for a larger load for Chase Brown. That's where I'm at. I think that they liked what they saw from Chase Brown. They were rumored to be releasing Joe Mixon last year. Like, I think that they've been trying
Some of that was off-the-field related, though, last year.
Yeah. Yeah.
And they had – and what's the kid from Oklahoma, the other kid from Oklahoma that they had, Perine?
Yeah, they got rid of him last year.
Yeah, I know. He didn't play there last year. He had already moved on. But
Denver.
Yeah, but at the same time, I mean, I think we're going to my point to you, Brian, is I think that we can't understand – because, like, from a Packers fan perspective, I can't understand why they moved on from Aaron Jones.
Because Josh Jacobs is better.
I see, and I've had conversations after you and I had that discussion yesterday, and I disagreed with you. I talked to people back home, and I was asking friends of mine, and they said it's up for discussion, and a lot of people sided with Aaron Jones because of the fact that what he did in the playoffs, because he is an unbelievably good pass catcher that you could put out in space and line up almost in a wide receiver slot, and he can do a lot of things well, and he had plenty left in the tank. What it comes down to is from a lot of it is money. And contractually, it was in his contract that the team had the right to restructure. If he didn't like it, he could ask for a release or a trade, and that's what he did.
Should we pull this? Who's better, Josh Jacobs?
If you want, I don't care.
I'm curious.
The thing I keep coming back on is the Bengals didn't need to do it. Like, they weren't up against, they weren't in the Bills situation or the Saints have gone through in recent years. They weren't up against it to where they had to find, you know, $7-8 million worth of salary to shed to be able to get under the salary cap or to make a move. They had plenty of salary cap room. So maybe Chase Brown is the guy. Maybe he is the running back of the future. But it's a league where you need multiple backs. Backs get injured every year. Joe Mixon's had injuries in the past. So I don't see a reason other than maybe you see the cliff is coming in his career and he'll be 28 when the season starts. I don't see a reason other than the cliff is coming or we're tired of his off-the-field shenanigans that you would release Joe Mixon when you're a Super Bowl contending team that had plenty of cap room.
Well, I mentioned the other scenario. Is they want to give the reins to Chase Brown, and they don't think that Joe Mixon would take the understudy role, whereas Zach Moss will.
I said the same thing, that he might have an issue with giving up the running back one or and the carries
to
a younger player.
I'm interested to see how many carries Chase Brown had last year, and I'm going to look this up here in a second, but to be even able to give the team that impression that they are ready to hand over the workload against somebody that you guys believe is obviously a proven running back.
He had 44 carries.
Yeah, exactly.
He had 14 catches.
You can like a guy, but you're going to base a decision on releasing Joe Mixon off of 44 carries?
I mean, a lot of teams, though, will go with a rookie over a veteran, like without seeing any NFL.
A rookie that was
if they see something
Chase Brown.
But if they see something in practice or the progression of a guy over the first year, and they say, hey, this is a guy that I think we can move on from Joe, we can save some money in the process, and this guy's fully capable of kind of carrying the torch. It's a business decision.
I think your point is valid and sound.
I think you're dismissing the decision when there was no reason to save money.
I'm with you on that. I think this is more about the hierarchy and who they want, what they want their running back depth chart to look like. And I get that, Mixon was their bell cow last year. Chase Brown didn't have a lot of carries. Certainly the finances shouldn't have been in play here because their finances are in pretty good spot and they have a bunch of salary cap space. This to me is more about, okay, what do we want our running back room to look like? We think Chase Brown's more dynamic. We think he's a better fit. Now, I think it's fair to say, well, why are the Bengals choosing Chase Brown over Joe Mixon? And if the Bengals are choosing Chase Brown over Joe Mixon, how much does Joe Mixon have left in the tank? I think it's a fair
question. That's one of my many concerns on this move.
What are your other concerns?
Well, we spent the first hour in the main concern. Sure. I would never have made this move for what we talked about in the first hour alone, period, end of sentence.
On the field, do you think he's an upgrade over Devin Singletary?
No, absolutely,
to me, it doesn't matter what the Bengals' room looks like. No, it matters what your room looks like. Is Joe Mixon better than Devin Singletary?
I don't. I mean, look, Devin Singletary Singletary's been in. Look, this is one stat. This is one metric. You can think it means nothing. You can think it means everything. It's open for interpretation and discussion. But Devin Singletary's been in the league for 5 seasons. Joe Mixon has never once had a better yards per carry than Devin Singletary.
Yeah, a lot of that's offensive line.
I get it. It's not like Joe Mixon.
Like, I care more about yards after contact. I care more about yards after expected yards gained. Like, a lot of times the yards per carry is an offensive line stat.
Plus, situation matters. A lot of times Devin Singletary, especially in Buffalo, was being used in passing situations. And if it was a long first down to get, a lot of times it's a dump down, it's a handoff late, it's a draw play where the line opens up and you can get chunk yards that are good for him but not good to get the first down. He's not there every. He was never there every down bell cow to really judge the way Mixon was like true yards per carry.
It just, I mean, yeah. you look at Joe Mixon's year by year, and again, you're right. You could put some of this on the Cincinnati offensive line, but he hasn't had a good yards per carry since like 2018. He's not an efficient back, and now going into his age 28 season, I don't see any reason for that to improve, especially since one of the things we've talked about this offseason is one of the ways you can improve the offensive line is to address the left guard problem, and they still haven't addressed it. So if we still believe the interior offensive line is an issue for the Texans, they haven't done anything to do it or fix it, and Joe Mixon has shown not to be an efficient runner unless he's got, I guess, an all-pro offensive line, which he didn't have in Cincinnati.
Yeah. I was Blankers and I have argued about how much does Joe Mixon have left in the tank. Blankers likes Mixon more than I do. I think I like Mixon more than you do.
Oh, yeah.
I think that's kind of where we're at. I do think that Mixon is an upgrade over Singletary. I don't think Mixon has a lot left in the tank. I would be anti-give him an extension. There's no reason to do that.
What if this year, though, he
goes
balls
nuts
out?
He's going to be 28 this year.
Doesn't mean – well, he probably would have other 29. Offers. But if you get him on another short-term deal at a reasonable price because he shows out
– No, I at that – if like
– You're talking about the 30-year-old threshold is just too much?
Not only that, but if Joe Mixon balls out, that means Nick Caserio in the last 2 years has found bargain running backs on a $3.5 million deal and a 6.1 cap hit for nothing. So I believe in just Nick Caserio going out and finding. Yeah, yeah. I'm not going to re-sign a 28-year-old.
As long as the depth in your running back room is capable,
running back.
Right, but I mean, as long as the depth in your running back room is capable of, if suddenly he does that and he misses.
Mm-hmm. Like now you're looking at a different plan on how you get that running back. Like I'm looking at Joe Mixon as a mercenary this year.
But it also goes.
He's my
to
mercenary.
Our,
mercenary Mixon.
It goes to our point of, and you can call him mercenary or bridge or whatever because we talk about it with coaches and players, but it goes to this, what we've been talking about, it, how the importance of depth over this roster matters too. Because it's essentially one of these times if we keep living and dying by him finding that home run that pans out, you might find fool's gold one time, but then you damn well better have a capable young guys and other guys to fill in the void.
Well, I want them to draft running back. Like I don't want Mixon to be the only option. I want them to sign like J.K. Dobbins sounds pretty interesting to me. Coming off of an injury, a guy who used to be really talented. I think you
multiple
can get him
injuries.
So what?
Important injuries.
So what? He's your RB2. Like you can give me that. Like I want Boomer Bust for my RB2.
But the fact is that the major injuries he's had kind of scare you in the fact that he just might be injury prone because okay. It's great that you get him at a bargain price and he's your RB2, but how long is he going to be your RB2 before he's on the IL for the rest of the
year? But I think you're failing to understand like which players we're talking about here. Like J.K. Dobbins, Clyde Edwards-Helaire, Alexander Mattison.
But I'd rather take one of the guys that doesn't have the history that Dobbins has with leg injuries.
See, I'd rather go boom and go with the upside. And I want to draft one. I want to draft the fourth round running
back. I'm agreeing with you that I thought in the fourth or fifth round, they need to go get another running back, a young running back that hopefully they can groom to be in a more important role on this team as we go forward. But I think we're both in the same camp. Go get a veteran. But to me, it's kind of like in any other situation. If you're comparing two or three running backs, I'm going to lean the way of the guy, one or two of the guys that don't have the medical history of a guy like him.
Fair enough. I'll go ceiling on that. 713-780-3776. Let's go out to the HRMP listener line. James, you're in the Hive with the Bees. What's up, James?
Hello.
Hey, James. What's going on?
Hello.
Can you hear me?
Yep, go ahead.
You,
James.
Oh. Just want to say I'm a lifelong Bengals fan, and you could imagine that the Bengals fans have been analyzing the moves at running back, and a couple of stats you are going to want to look up. I think that there's a scheme issue here. So number one, Mixon has a horrible yard after contact. Basically, he gets touched once and falls down. Secondly, he is one of the worst in the league at pass pro. And so what the Bengals want from their running backs is to be weapons on third down, and Mixon just basically wasn't that because he couldn't pick up a blocker. I mean, couldn't pick up a blitzer. So those are a couple of things to look at. And if you're looking for just a bell cow, somebody to, you know, be in there first and second down, yeah, he has lots in the tank. He'll get you yardage. But he's not a third down back, and that's what the Bengals are looking for, is two guys that basically can be out on the field in all three downs. And I'll hang up and listen.
Appreciate the insight, James. That was, I mean, good perspective to have as a Bengals fan that can give us, like, you know, the realities of the situation. Look, I think that's what they were looking for, though. What he described at the end of the call is exactly what they want. A bell cow, a guy that's going to get the ball to be your running back one. They're not opposed to finding, and I think they'd like to find running back two that can take the load off. They did it a year ago, and they had every intention, the way they started the season with Pierce, that it was going to be Pierce and Singletary, and we saw that the majority of the carries early on were going Pierce's way. I don't think there's a doubt, and you guys can tell me if I'm wrong in terms of your opinions, but I would say that there's no doubt in my mind that they're looking for two running backs that are going to share the load, but the majority is going to be Mixon.
Yeah, that kind of validates the things that I had heard about Mixon as well, that he's not great in pass protection, which he's not good in pass protection. I don't think you're playing on third downs, which stinks, because I think he's good with the ball after catch. But if he's not on the field on third downs, that's tough. It sounds to me like they need a third down running back to complete the room. Like, they to like platoon with Joe Mixon, give me a good third down running back who can catch the ball out of the backfield. Who is that guy? Antonio Gibson? Antonio Gibson, Jared McKinnon free? I think Jared McKinnon is free.
I think he is. And yeah. I looked it up while the listener was finishing up there. Devin Singletary last year did average more yards after contact than Joe Mixon on a per-touch basis.
That's not good.
No, it's not.
It's not good. How are they yards after the catch receiving the ball?
That I'd have to look up.
Joe Mixon has a better Pro Football Focus grade. Do you care about that?
I don't. No. There's really nothing that I could be swayed on. I'm fully out on this deal. I get that there's no risk. Like, it doesn't hurt the Texans at all, other than possibly the embarrassment of something were to happen here off the field. But on the field, seventh round pick, it absolutely costs us nothing. I'm very out on Joe Mixon.
I mean, you just cut him if that's the case.
Yeah,
you
know, it is.
We're going to cut you if he does that. 713-780-3776. Let's go back out to the HRMP listener line. Kenny, you're in the Hive with the Bees. What's up, Kenny? Oh. Kenny, you there?
Kenny.
Yes.
Go ahead, man. You're on.
Can y'all guys hear me?
Yeah.
Okay, so, yeah, just wanted to chime in on a guy that we have on the Texans that's on the practice squad that should be elevated to the roster. His name is J.J. Taylor. The guy actually came from Arizona. Previously was just with the Patriots, and the Patriots didn't use them as they should have. But when the guy stepped on the field, he made plays when he could. This guy is very explosive. I don't know. I'm thinking that the Houston Texans should take a look at the guy that they have on the squad and just give this guy a chance. He's very explosive. He's breaking tackles. The thing is that he's a shorter guy. He's the shortest guy on the field at all times, but he makes the biggest plays. You guys can go and check out his clips.
Hey, Kenny.
Kenny,
how long have you known him?
Yeah, how are y'all related?
How long have you known him?
How long have I known him?
Yeah.
This guy is actually my cousin.
I'm rooting for him.
Yeah.
Like, I think he's a perfect guy to probably have practice squad and hide him on the practice squad if you have injuries that he can take that spot. I'm rooting for J.J. Taylor, Kenny. I'm going to keep my eye on him just because you caught it and told us to keep our eye on him. I pulled up his numbers here. You're right. He is kind of small. 5'6", 185. Yeah. So is Darren Sproles. Darren Sproles is kind of small. Maybe he can be that third down
really
running back they were talking about.
Time.
All right, Kenny, thanks for the
super
heads up, man.
Super explosive.
I like super explosive
super
running backs.
Explosive.
All right, I got my eye on him. I'm going to put a little star next to his name. Let me know that I need to be rooting for J.J. Taylor. There you go. Maybe he's going to be the next Arian Foster type. Now, he did spend time with the Patriots. He was there for 3 years.
Maybe Nick knows a little bit more than most.
I mean, he's on the roster. Yep. I think he's a reserves player. So, you know, chance to win a job at camp, maybe practice squad him. You know, maybe win a job outright. That'd be awesome. Yeah, J.J. Taylor. My bad. I guess Antonio Gibson signed with the Patriots. I did not know that. All these moves totally went under the radar. I had no idea that Antonio Gibson signed with the Patriots. Okay, so give me another third down running back. Jarrett McKinnon. Give me Jarrett McKinnon. 713-780-ESPN. HRMP listener line, 713-780-3776. Cash it or trash it. What are you cashing or trashing with the Killer Bees? 713-780-3776. Killer Bees, ESPN 97.5 and ESPN 92.5. You know that I'm already cashing some Gentle Ben. I've been telling you for years that Gentle Ben is the absolute best. It starts with the finest ingredients, classic time-honored distilling methods. Gentle Ben uses a revolutionary technology that eliminates impurities for the cleanest, smoothest the spirits you'll ever taste. You'll love what's not in Gentle Ben, including VOCs, volatile organic compounds. The Gentle Ben purification process takes these out, which can lead to coughing when you're drinking the other brands. Not with Gentle Ben, though. No VOCs in Gentle Ben. Notice it's VOCs, not VOC. You get all the flavor with none of the burn, whether it's the vodka, gin, straight bourbon whiskey, or the cast strength bourbon. Next time you head to dinner, go to your favorite bar, well, ask for Gentle Ben. Look for Gentle Ben at the liquor store, whichever one you go to, whatever's on the way home. If you're looking for plans, head to the Gentle Ben tasting room. If you're going to a Rockets game or a concert in the Toyota Center, stop by Ben's bar, pick up pop. If you're going to Minute Maid soon, well, there's Gentle Ben there as well at the Gentle Ben bar. Or you can just head straight online to the website, gentleben.com. Read more about their incredible story, the legacy of Gentle Ben. And you can also order straight from the website. That's right. The vodka, the gin, the bourbon, the whiskey. Add any of it to your cart. They'll deliver it straight to your doorstep. Gentle Ben, all the flavor, none of the burn. Let them know that Branham Bourbon sent you.
Prepare for overreaction on my mark.
It's that time of the week where overreactions are welcome.
They say Muhammad Ali was the greatest of all time, but he never fought Cassius Clay. What was he afraid of? Boom!
It's cash 'em.
That is so good. But that's exactly right.
Or trash 'em.
This is your hot take.
Seems like an overreaction.
With a Killer Bees.
Give us a hot spoonful of your opinion.
Cash 'em or trash 'em with the Bees. 713-780-ESPN. What do you want us to cash? What do you want us to trash? 713-780-3776. What you got, Blinkers?
Joe Mixon will have more rushing yards at the end of the year than any running back in the free agent class this year, with the exception of Saquon Barkley, and that's it.
What? What kind of governors are you throwing on this?
Joe Mixon will have more rushing yards than any free agent running back in this year's free agency class.
Yeah, trash.
Trash.
I would be happy if he's top three.
But you said no governors. I was going to say other than Josh Jacobs and Saquon Barkley and Derrick Henry.
That's not an accomplishment. At that
I know.
Point,
why isn't it?
Because, I'm going to go.
Because it's, I mean, what does that even mean? If he's,
right. I don't like either one of you right now, so then fine. Just leave it the way it was then. He'll have more rushing yards.
I'll trash it still.
Then, okay, good.
Yeah, I'll still trash it. The governor didn't really change anything for me because I think Henry will have more yards.
Although, he's going
to get hurt. That's a good point. The Baltimore Ravens running back position is a curse.
Yeah.
So, okay, fair enough. I'll have Josh Jacobs ahead of him.
I hope you're right.
I think Aaron Jones will be ahead of him. I think Jones will be ahead of him. Who am I missing here?
Pollard.
Pollard in Tennessee. I like Spears. I won't go Pollard.
Eckler.
Spears more of a receiving back though. So
yeah,
far,
yeah, but there. I wonder if he's going to eat up into him a little bit, eat into some of his carries. That might be possibly a close one to follow. That might be a close one to follow. How about Singletary with the Giants?
I would take Singletary.
What about Singletary with the Giants?
Their offensive line has been garbage.
And then how about Swift?
It, with the Bears?
Yeah.
Why not?
Going to be sharing carries, isn't he?
Depends on how much you like Mixon.
I think Mixon's going to get a lot of carries.
I got some Roschon Johnson stocks.
I think Mixon is he's like the Bregman situation, but he's on a prove it. I think he's going to be fine.
Yeah, he's prove it, but he's kind of old. I'm cool with Mixon being on this team, but like the Mixon's going to found the fountain of youth and be like this stud running back. I don't know. I don't think he finishes top three.
I don't think he's going to be one of the best running backs in the league, but I think of all the guys that are out there for Saquon's got to prove he can be healthy.
No, but you're talking about running backs this class, though.
Right.
So
free agency.
Yeah, I don't think he'll finish top three.
Okay.
I don't think he'll finish top three.
Yeah, you know where I stand on this.
Trash.
You should shut your mouth then.
He hates Joe Mixon.
I told you, I'm out on the spread.
Jordan Spieth was DQ'd. I've been sitting on this one. I've been doing other stuff instead. Jordan Spieth got DQ'd about 2 weeks ago. Tournament 2 weeks ago. He got DQ'd for signing the wrong scorecard. Mm-hmm. There is not a worse rule in all of sports. Some people say golf isn't a sport. But there is no worse rule in sports than somebody's a golfer signing a wrong scorecard getting DQ'd. You have trackers on every hole. You have people watching every hole that are keeping score for a variety of different media outlets, including the PGA. You have cameras that are tracking every single one of their shots. This is like asking NFL teams, oh, yeah, you got to keep your own score. We're not going to keep the score up here on the scoreboard. We're not going to keep it on any of these media outlets. And then if you finish the game and you tell us the wrong score, you're disqualified, you're kicked out of the game, you lose, and you can't play the following week either. Maybe not. Maybe that's a little bit of a reach.
Was that the rule for Spieth, too? He couldn't play the following week
either? No, that's why I said that part's a reach. But you have to keep track of your score, basketball, football, baseball. You turn in the wrong score, even if you're losing. Even if you're losing, you get disqualified. You get disqualified. This is the stupidest rule in all sports. Some people don't think it's a sport, and it needs to change. So this is the stupidest rule in all of sports. Cash it or treasure.
There's plenty of stupid rules in sports.
So many.
But I'm going to cash it. Wait your turn, sir. I'm going to cash it because of the fact that for all the things you mentioned and so many different ways that other people are documenting it, when you go into the scorer's tent, it is the official scorer and someone in the scoring tent that hole by hole go over the card with you and are supposed to say, if you say a certain number, hey, wait a minute, on hole number 7, we have this, and then you talk with your playing partner, it's discussed before you sign the card. So they're supposed to actually help you to avoid this situation, but I'm cashing it because it's a stupid rule.
I will slightly nitpick trash. You and trash it only because the dumbest rule in sports is having them be responsible for their own scorecards anyway. We have the technology just to have other people track their scores. There should be no reason for them that you have to do it on their own. But again, I agree with you on the second part of it. If they are tracking their own scores, there's no reason to DQ. The scores still happen.
Why not just fix it?
It's not like we can't fact check it.
Yeah, hey Jordan, you turned this in the wrong way. We're gonna correct this just so you know. Yeah. Okay, done. Done. Instead, you're getting rid of one of the most popular golfers on the tour. Like, that's good for the game of golf. That's good for viewership. That's good for the fans that are coming out. That's why LIV is destroying your sport.
Yeah, that's the other thing.
Ridiculous.
On the flip side, I don't mind it if people watching saw a guy do something and they question it. That's up to the tournament to decide. But in terms of keeping your own score, everybody's keeping your own score hole to hole, and even the graphics are showing you what your score is.
They have the big scoreboard. Yeah, you know? I mean, it's obviously people
ridiculous.
Are keeping, it keeping track of it. There's no reason for the score to be dependent on what the player turns in.
It's antiquated for the player to even be keeping their own score.
Yeah, I agree. That's right. The worst part to me.
And then to disqualify them over it? It's absurd. All right, Brian, what are you cashing or trashing?
Well, this might surprise you, but it's Joe Mixon related. I don't think Joe Mixon finishes this season as the Texans' number one running back, the starting running back of the Houston Texans. I was digging more into the efficiency numbers when the caller last segment brought it up. It was even worse than I realized, beyond all the off-the-field stuff. So we mentioned his yards after contact. Last season, Joe Mixon, yards after contact, ranked 46th out of 48 eligible runners. He carries per broken tackle. He was 40th out of 48. He had fewer broken tackles last season than Damian Pierce. Damian Pierce had more broken tackles than Joe Mixon last season. And to the conversation, well, maybe, you know, we don't care about yards per carry because he's got a bad offensive line. He's actually third in the league with yards before contact.
You know where I stand on this.
It was all based upon the offensive line opening things up for him.
You know where I stand on this. I believe in Joe Mixon. I believe Joe Mixon will be the number one running back for the Texans this upcoming season. So I will trash him.
Trash.
Brian's just a ray of sunshine today.
I don't like Joe Mixon.
I hope that he doesn't. I hope that he doesn't. And I'm going to cash this, actually. I want Joe Mixon to be the RB1 for about 6 to 8 games. Solid. 6 to 8 games. And I want the rookie running back that they draft in the fourth round to be their Chase Brown. I want the Bengals are moving on for Joe Mixon for a variety of reasons. We argued about it earlier. Who knows what's actually true? But Chase Brown, I think, is going to be their top guy. I know they brought in Zach Moss to kind of share the load, but I think Chase Brown's going to be their top guy. I want the Texans to draft a guy in the fourth round that becomes their Chase Brown. That their guy that they picked is the one that's forcing Joe Mixon, not that he's going to be off the team, just that he fades away into RB2 status and he becomes the starter. Another way to do that is, you know, you're running back too, like Devin Singletary, I guess, unseated Damian Pierce last year. I mean, any chance it's Damian Pierce?
I would be surprised by that. I think a good scenario would be, and it obviously depended upon where this player falls, but Obviously, Jonathan Brooks out of Texas is not going to be really ready to go or be 100% by the start of the season. But like you said, Jeremy, maybe halfway through the year, he's starting to feel like himself again. And then Jonathan Brooks, who a lot of people had as the number one running back prospect before his ACL injury, maybe he then, by halfway into the season, sometime late October, early November, works himself into the RB1.
I'm shocked you brought up a Longhorn. I mean, look, I'm with Jeremy's thought process being whether he plays good or bad, Joe Mixon's only here for 1 year. Because if he plays good, someone's going to give him way more money than the Texans are going to be willing to give him. And because of his age, they're not going to give it to him anyway. So you would hope that there's someone waiting in the wings that's capable of taking this thing forward, at least being one of your two running backs.
I think it's best case scenario. 0102, trash. People talking or lack of talking about Henry trash. Is crazy.
Is it
trash in that?
Trash that people are talking about Henry
or not talking about Henry. The listener.
I think he's saying that we're sleeping on Henry. Like people are sleeping on Derrick Henry. I think it's very broad.
Yeah, I'm not understanding the
let's go with that.
Completely.
I think that I'm interpreting it as best as I can, but it was very awkward text. But people are sleeping on Derrick Henry. Let's go with that because I think that's what he's saying.
I don't think so. I think Derrick Henry has a lot of miles on those tires. I think that Derrick Henry is in the best possible situation for anyone to prove any critic of him wrong because he's going to have the best running scheme and the best offensive line he probably could be behind going into next year. I don't think he's going to finish the season. I don't think he's going to finish the season as running back one for Baltimore. If he does, more power to him because he's been an unbelievable force in this league. I just think all that force has taken its toll on him.
Who's going to be their RB1 over Henry?
I mean, yeah, Gus Edwards is gone. He's
doesn't matter. They find ways. They find guys that can. That
I think
can
Henry
end up being
can lead the league
back
in touchdowns.
I'm gonna. Yeah, it'd be
Gus
did,
even
he?
If he's not having a great efficient
year,
I think he can lead the league in touchdowns.
Yeah, he's gonna fall into the end zone.
Exactly.
Get a lot of points. I'm going to cash this. I think people are underrating how much Derrick Henry has left in the tank. I'll cash that. 5044 JJ Taylor, the Tank Dell of running backs. Our guy, show favorite JJ Taylor.
There you go. From now on, we know who he is.
Cashing or trashing it? He's the Tank Dell of running backs.
Trash it.
I'm cashing this. Trash. I'm all in. I'm all in on J.J. Taylor. He's my guy. I've always been a fan of J.J. Taylor. Since the moment he stepped into the NFL, I've had my eye on him. All 5'6" of J.J. Taylor, but all 5'6" of electricity that is known as J.J. Taylor.
So is he going to block on short yardage plays?
No, he's going to be scoring touchdowns and catching balls out of the backfield. J.J. Taylor is electric.
He's got electric
for the Texans. On third down, in critical spots.
In
love this guy.
In regular season games?
Absolutely.
Okay.
Absolutely. I'm all in on J.J. Taylor.
I'll trash it.
I can tell.
What about you, Brian?
It.
Sure.
There, yeah. He's our guy. Love J.J. Taylor.
I love the story of a 5'6 running back taking off. You can't see
that was
him
discovered
the
by the Killer Bees because his cousin called into the show. Are the Texans done at wide receiver? I think they might be. 713-780-3776. Killer Bees on ESPN 97.5 and ESPN 92.5.
I thought that was a cash it or trash it. All right, before we get to that, let's get to this, and that is MyBookie is here for you if you want to put money down on games like NBA and college games every single night normally, and you want to actually make a game more interesting watching it wherever you're watching it, or the fact that you know that everything from golf to UFC, to hockey, to all the different sports with baseball gearing up and getting ready to go that you like to bet on or you'd like to get interested in betting on, you go to mybookie.ag. Why? Well, because they've been in business for over a decade. That means they're going to take care of you and they're going to make sure your money stays where you put it. The other thing is that when you put your money into your account, they take care of you because you listen to us. Use my promo code BET975. Use it whenever you go on the site, but specifically when you're either setting up your account for the first time or reloading your account with more money, because when you use that code and do the reload or put money in your account, they're going to double it from $50 up to $1,000. That means you put $100 in, you got $200 in your account. More money in your account, more games you can bet on, and realistically, more chances you can win. And even when there's not games going on, if you want to gamble, you could do it at MyBookie because they have live dealers standing by with casino games like poker and blackjack too. It's fantastic. Remember our promo code whenever you can. Use it. Bet975 and do what I always tell you to do. Bet anything, anytime, anywhere. With the only place I tell you to do it, it's mybookie.ag. Promo code
Bet975. You found the Killer Bees live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios. Here's Joel Blank and Jeremy Branham.
7428, Jordan, DQ is like doing your tax return wrong and being punished for something when they already know what you owe. It's a great call. What a good comparison. I just turned in my taxes.
Oh, I need to get going on mine.
I got a guy.
I got a guy, and I need to get all my stuff to that guy sooner rather than later.
Yeah, I'm always scared that I'm giving it to him too late.
Yeah.
And he always gets a little lippy with me, too, my little CPA. He always gets a little lippy. He's like, yeah, you know, I give it to him, and it's like, yeah, you know, my backlog is 4 weeks. Cool, man.
You want the job or not?
That's cool. Like, I'm willing to wait 4 weeks. Like, I'm not going anywhere. I'm not doing them. I'm willing to wait 4 weeks. And then he always gives it to me in 2 weeks. So it's like, okay, all right. 9392 says Keaton Mitchell, and 7165 says Keaton Mitchell. They're going to be the leading running backs in Baltimore.
He got hurt at the end of the year too, though.
Yeah, he's probably
he was
best
averaging
case
like
scenario.
8 yards a carry, and then on that was a national TV game.
What was his injury?
I think it was ACL.
So he's probably out until like week 8.
He's a tiny, tiny running back, so you wouldn't expect him to actually carry the workload.
Yeah, ACL in week 15. Like,
yeah, he's not going to be back till midway.
Yeah, they'd be lucky to come back midway.
No, technically, he might be practicing before midway, but guys coming off those ACL surgery, we've seen it. Even when they come back, you know, less than a full year, they're not really themselves until that full year has
gone
by.
And a second-year player, you still have him under contract for this year and then two more. You just signed Derrick Henry. Like, they're not going to be rushing Keaton Mitchell back.
Yeah, why would you rush him back when you have Derrick Henry?
And they're going to be a playoff team we expect. Like, they're going to they're going to do whatever they can to get him right by the end of the year. 713-780-ESPN, HRP listener line. The Texans, I think, are done at receiver. We'll get to that in a second. But first, let's go out to the HRP listener line for Big C. Clarence, you're in the hive with the bees. What's up?
What's going on, gentlemen? How y'all doing?
What's up, man?
That's good. Joel, I think you're underrating Derrick Henry. I think he's still got just enough in the tank for 2 years. I think with Baltimore's run scheme and how they're going to use him, I don't think he's going to be a featured back. He might be a nice little short yardage back. He's going to have to step into that role. But I can see Baltimore being that a la 2019 offense where they were ranked number two and they went 14-2. And I think he still have enough to do that, just be short yardage, goal line situations. But he's not going to be the Derrick Henry that we remember. But being that way, I can see him having just enough of them.
So you think I'm right, but you're hoping you are.
I think he thinks he's right.
He doesn't know.
I think he thinks
I'm right. We'll be watching it closely now, Clarence.
Yeah, that's one of my favorite storylines going into next year. Thank you, Big C, for kind of vouching for me without vouching for me. I also think it's a perfect offense for him. Like, he's going to have
there's no doubt about that.
Opportunities that he wouldn't have elsewhere because of how dynamic that offense is and because of how dynamic Lamar Jackson is.
Yeah, there's no doubt that if there's any place that you want to, no matter where you are in your career, that you want, if you're a running back and you want to have success, I mean, we talked about the fact they played musical chairs at running back with injury all season long in Baltimore, and every guy that toted the rock found a way to get yards and make the running game an integral part of whatever they did offensively and whatever Lamar was able to do. So it's ideal for him. We'll see if he finishes the season.
Yeah. All right, so here's where I'm at with the Texans receivers. They brought back Noah Brown. $5 million on a year deal. I'm surprised by this.
Me too.
They have Robert Woods under contract. They can get out of it for the $5 million. Like, maybe that's some symmetry that, you know, maybe it's too perfect that, you know, maybe we should look at that. Oh, they brought back Noah Brown at $5 million. The cap savings on Robert Woods would be $5 million. Is that kind of tit for tat? It could be to Brian's point, too, where maybe you wait and see. I think they're done with free agent receivers. I think that they're out on receivers in free agency. I think bringing back Noah Brown eliminates the idea that the Houston Texans would bring back a running back or a receiver. I think, or sign a receiver. I think the only way that they'll add another receiver is in the draft. And then they'll bring that receiver to camp. You'll have 7 receivers, not counting the reserve future guys. And then you're going to have a battle, and you have an injury. Well, then you have the luxury of having, like, Robert Woods around. But if you don't have an injury, and those are your 6, Nico Tank, Robert Woods, Noah Brown, Xavier Hutchinson, John Mechie, and then the rookie receiver, if they all make it through camp healthy, then you're cutting Robert Woods. I think that's all that's left for the Houston Texans
to do
the receiver
position. I personally think if there's any receiver that's still going to go or that they would replace, it's Robert Woods. You and I have talked about this as recently as yesterday.
But do you think they're going to sign a receiver?
I think that it doesn't matter if they sign one or they draft one. There might be one that will make sure that Robert Woods isn't on this roster next year. And if you save the $5 million in the process, so be it. I think that Robert Woods his best football is very, very far behind him. I think no matter what, he surprised me in what he was able to do a year ago. That's great. But I would have already cut him if they're waiting to see if they can either find a deal when some of the dust settles and see that there's still a couple of veterans out there that are fully capable that maybe have slipped through the cracks that they can pick up on a good deal. Great. If they draft a receiver, fantastic. But I think one way or another, I think Robert Woods could still be the odd man out.
I just don't see him signing another free agent receiver. I think they could draft a rookie receiver, and then that's the way Woods is out. Because like Brian was saying yesterday, you can go into camp with these guys
right.
because you don't need the savings immediately. So you can go into camp into these guys, make sure they get out there healthy. Because if they're not healthy, okay, well, cool. Like let's say Mechie, sprains his ankle and is out for 4 weeks and you're placing him on IR for those first 4 weeks. Well, okay, cool. You have the other six receivers here.
Right.
So you can go to camp with those seven guys. I don't think that you're signing Noah Brown, keeping Robert Woods up like for the entire offseason, and signing an additional free agent receiver. I don't think there's any chance they sign a free agent receiver.
I think you're right. The percentages really lead itself to believe that you're absolutely right on that. But I think that, again, Nick is so savvy that if he finds out that some guy, one of the veterans out there, is ripe for the picking, they'll go get him. I'm not sure that anybody should feel safe after the top three because they committed to Noah Brown. I think after the top three, Mechie's kind of up in the air. Hutchinson's up in the air. Though I think that they're gonna lead themselves to believe Hutchinson's still got enough potential. They'll keep him around. And then for me, Woods is a guy that he's good for now, but if there's better that comes along, whether you draft him or you still find a guy on the scrap heap that's been cut somewhere or hasn't been signed, and you believe it makes your room better, I think that they can still do that.
Yeah.
I mean, I think Woods is on this team until they no longer need Woods on this team. And right now, the roster space says, okay, you're on here, but the second they don't need him, he's gone. And I think what we've seen from the Texans, and this is league-wide, this is not only a Texans thing, but where you've seen teams be very, very active on running backs, Texans included, obviously, with the trade and being willing to pay Mixon $6-8 million. And then you haven't seen teams very active in the wide receiver market, Texans included in that as well, is kind of a reflection of what they think about the draft class coming up. They're active on running backs. They're willing to pay more than they have for running backs in previous seasons because they're looking at the running back draft class and going, yeah, there's not really anybody I want to take it to the third or fourth round, whereas this wide receiver class in the draft is probably the most loaded it's been in I don't know how many years, but we had Matt Miller on talking about how there's 8-9 guys that could go, into the early second round. So teams are looking at this and thinking, why am I spending a wide receiver when the draft is loaded with great prospects? But the reverse of that is doesn't have a lot of great running back prospects, and so they're willing to spend a free agency in those running backs.
I think the main takeaway here for me, though, is they're done on free agent receivers.
Yeah, and I think that's because they're looking at the draft classes. Like, why would we spend on a free agent when we can address the need that we have in the draft for much cheaper?
But I also think that the addition of Noah Brown means that they're not pot committed to receiver in the draft. If one is there that they like, I don't think they would go this in the first
pot
round.
Committed. You just mean early?
No, I mean
period. They drafted a wide receiver in the draft. Are you saying
they don't need to? They don't need to. They have six guys right now that are capable.
That's a loose definition risky, of capable.
Look, I'm in favor of drafting a receiver. Like, don't get it twisted. I've been in favor of drafting a receiver the entire time. But with the addition of Noah Brown, it tells me a couple of things. The first thing it tells me, they're not signing another free agent wide receiver.
I agree with that part.
Because they wouldn't have six guys under contract ahead of the draft that they were going to sign another free agent wide receiver. I think that part's a guarantee. The second thing it tells me in terms of the draft is that they are not going into the draft saying that we must draft a receiver, that it's a necessity that we draft a receiver. Now, if there's one that they love in the second round or third round, cool, we'll do that, and then we're probably going to cut Robert Woods if we make it through camp healthy. That's the only way I see them adding a receiver between now and camp, which I think is fine. Like, that's cool. Like, I want them to draft a receiver. And then Robert Woods would be the cap casualty, but you don't have to do it until, like, you're making your final roster cuts because you want to make sure that they're all healthy. But free agent receiver, out the window. They're going into the draft without being pot committed to receiver. If they love one, best player available, draft one, cool. But they're not going to they're not going to enter the draft and say, we're not leaving this draft without a receiver.
I'd be really surprised if they draft zero wide receivers.
I would too, but it's not a necessity.
I would even push back on that, though. I can't see the Texans looking at what happened at their wide receiver room, and obviously part of that is injury with Tank Dell, but I can't see them looking at their wide receivers at the end of the year and wanting to run it back. I mean, they got to a point where one injury put them in a position where they had a bunch of receivers on the field not named Nico Collins that they couldn't trust.
All of their actions so far have indicated they do want to run it back, though.
I know.
Because they have not cut Robert Woods. I understand that they don't have to yet. They could have, but they don't have to. So it's not really a tell on that one way or another yet. But then they signed Noah Brown. They re-signed Noah Brown. That is telling you, let's run it back. It also tells you we want continuity on offense. Because they brought back Dalton Schultz, continuity on offense. They didn't bring back the running backs. They hated their running backs, it seems like. And then they re-signed Noah Brown. Continuity on offense.
Right. I think
Slowick too.
I don't think they hated Motor. They just realized he was going to price himself out of what they thought he was worth.
I think that they kind of like, I think they put all their eggs in the Saquon basket, thought they were going to get Saquon, and then it was too late
when
to
they doubled back.
To
he already had a dealer.
Yeah, I think so.
But I'm not going to completely close the door on getting another free agent wide receiver simply because, like I said, I think there's a chance that someone falls through the cracks that Caserio and or D'Amico and Slowick really like.
I don't think you would have signed Brown though.
The Brown thing to me was very surprising when they did it, but it doesn't preclude you from still doing something to go get another veteran receiver. You can still cut Woods and still, I don't think the $5 million you spent on Noah Brown is a deal breaker that says if there's someone out there that they feel like they can get that can make them better.
Yeah, I feel like they wouldn't have signed Brown in that instance though.
Maybe they're not expecting to, but you know the way they like to uncover stones. If some guy ends up sitting there going, wow, there's a lot of teams that are passing or that have solidified their wide receiver room, there's a dude that's better than Robert Woods. I'm going to go get him.
The Brown thing is where the hang-up's at for me.
I get it.
That's where the hang-up where I'm at. Now, in terms of drafting a guy, I think it's BPA. If they love a receiver, they're going to draft the receiver and then make a decision whenever they have to cut it down to 53. Because you're not going to keep more than six receivers. You're going to have six receivers. They currently have six receivers under contract. Nico, Tank, Woods, Brown, Hutchinson, Mechie. I agree with you guys that Robert Woods would be the guy that's cut if you draft a rookie receiver. I don't think you're adding a free agent receiver. But I also don't think it would come until the 53-man roster has to be set and you get through training camp because you might have an injury. Like, what if Noah Brown goes down with a broken leg? Okay, well, cool. You have Robert Woods as your wide receiver insurance.
Yeah, there's no reason to make the move on Robert Woods to me until you're sometime in training camp. And Robert Woods, I mean, I think we had this conversation yesterday about it being kind of a cold-hearted Daryl Morey move if you were to keep him all the way through. But, I mean, other teams are going to have injuries at wide receivers. So if you made it to, let's say, mid-August, you cut Robert Woods, he's going to have an opportunity, assuming that if teams think that he has anything left, to catch on with another team because there's going to be another team in the league that has an injury.
See, I think that plenty of GMs are like Daryl Morey. They'll sit and wait. Look what happened with Mixon. They sat and waited until the running back market was basically dried up, and then they traded him instead of letting him go. So Daryl Morey might be the biggest savage of all of them, but I think, is it fair to say that you guys are with me? I don't think in the first or second round they draft wide receiver.
I think they could the second if it's BPA. Like if somebody they love falls, if Ladd falls
first,
in the middle of two
see,
in the second.
I could see second.
I think first round they're still going defense.
I agree with that. I think they're defense oriented. I mean, the six receivers you currently have under contract are the six you had last year. With Nico, Tank, Woods, Brown,
Hutchinson,
Mechie. I
just hate the idea of running it back. The wide receiver, I can't see looking at the wide receiver group as a whole. Obviously, at the top, we're very, very satisfied. But as a whole, I'm thinking that's good enough. I just don't see – I can't see Caserio and D'Amico, for smart as I think they are, looking at that room and thinking that's good enough.
Yeah. 713-780-ESPN. Where do the Texans add to that wide receiver room? And also proof that spending big in free agency doesn't always equal winning. 713-780-3776. Killer Bees, ESPN 97.5 and ESPN 92.5.